From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today, new state school superintendent Brian Whiston and his ambitious goal for Michigan schools.
Shame on all of us if we let politics get in the way. If 10 years from now we're not a top 10 performing state, then shame on all of us.
Yes means yes. What could this bill mean for Michiganders in a romantic moment?
If you can't get somebody to actually physically be able to say the words, yes, I want to do that, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Plus, a Michigan writer revives the Western with his new novel, Messiah. And the big name change from Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. to Junior Jr.
The band name became like this extra member of the band that wasn't contributing, and so we felt like we had to kick him out.
Those stories and more today on Stateside. The start of the new school year also meant the start of a major push by new state school superintendent Brian Whiston. He wants to make Michigan a top 10 education state within 10 years. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today on Stateside, is that goal really possible? But first, if you want to have sex with someone, it can't be presumed because you're dating. It can't be based on somebody's drunken actions. It can't be because that someone didn't say no. That's what a bill introduced by a state senator would mean. Senate Bill 512. It's been dubbed the Yes Means Yes Bill. This idea of affirmative consent is gaining ground in other states. It comes at a time that a number of Michigan universities have been the focus of federal investigation for the way that they've handled reports of sexual assault. Democratic State Senator Curtis Hertel Jr. is a sponsor of the bill. Senator Hertel, welcome to the program.
Wonderful to be on. Thank you.
How would this bill change the way that sexual encounters are legally viewed in Michigan?
What we're trying to do is actually take a slightly different approach and talk about education. We feel like there's a lot of focus on these kinds of issues once people get to college, but we think that's too late. So what we're trying to do is actually go into our sex ed laws and in high schools teach people about active consent. You know, silence is not consent. Someone who's incapacitated can't give consent. Someone can rescind consent in the middle of an encounter. You know, knowing that what's going on our college campuses, you know, 1 in 5 women are actually being assaulted while on our college campuses, according to just a recent study that came out. It's very disturbing to me. We need to do something to get kids the information about active consent on the front end before they ever get to college.
Now, Michigan actually doesn't even require that districts have a sex ed program?
That's true. Most of them do, but there's no talk in any of these programs about consent. Mm-hmm. All the focus is on no means no. But there are situations where someone can't say no or does say no or is afraid to say no, that really the answer should be consent. The answer should be that you actually know that you have permission to perform that act on a person. We obviously have a huge cultural problem on all of our college campuses. And it's not just there. It's in the rest of the world as well.
Right.
But it seems to be targeted there. So before we actually get kids to school, let's teach them about consent. Let's teach them what the proper way to behave is.
So this spells out content that you'd like to see inserted into sex ed programs, although some districts maybe only have one class the whole time on reproductive health. And I'm just wondering, can there be something done to broaden that? I mean, the idea that we don't even require districts to have the programs.
Well, we started a comprehensive sex ed review in my office. Big part of that was we had a group, East Lansing, a gender equality group, a high school group, and I went and spoke to them. There were 40 kids, and they were learning things that just weren't true and were getting a real negative message that they felt was really one-sided and sexist in ways.
What kind of things and what kind of messages?
They were being taught things that were medically inaccurate. I'm not sure how far I can get into it on the radio. There's a lot of shaming going on that, you know, good girls say no. Boys want girls that say no. You know, someone that says yes is less than attractive. Just a lot of messages that really weren't, I think, fair. So we started a comprehensive review, and we're still in the process of that, actually. We want to get a bill that we actually think we can support and change sex ed across the state. That being said, there's a lot of political issues with that. We want to get something that's passable as well.
And so because there's a lot of people who think none of this belongs in a class.
Exactly. So we felt consent was something that we can all agree on, that teaching consent, knowing the dangers that are going on college campuses. So the first bill that we're rolling out is this. That doesn't mean that we're not working on the rest of those issues. I think it's important to note that if we put this in law, it would have to be covered in every school that has a sex ed class. And the numbers are, I believe, well over 95% that actually have a sex ed program in their schools. So there are some schools that don't, but it seems to be fairly rare.
So would this also then be involved in criminal cases? Does this spell out parameters of what is legal and what is not?
If you look at what's going on, we kind of already have that going on through our courts. So I guess there are gray areas that we could more explain in law, and that would be good. But I think that really we have to start on the education side, teaching kids about the proper ways to actually get consent. And then we can look at how that actually affects in the future.
In the idea of practical application of this idea of affirmative consent, how does it not turn a sexual encounter into 30 questions? May I touch you here? May I do this? Yes. Okay, I'll proceed.
And I understand, you know, I mean, I've seen the comments online about,
yeah,
you know, forms and triplicate and all those things. And that's not what we're trying to do. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously I was a college student once. But I think that what we're really saying is that we just have to bring some common sense to it. There was a recent study done by college campus where they asked just basic questions like, is it okay if someone is passed out to have sex with them? And people were confused. If someone passes out in the middle of sex, is it okay to continue? People were confused. If someone asks you to stop in the middle of it, is it okay? People were confused. We are doing something wrong. There is a culture here that is not actually teaching kids to respect the person that they're with. And the numbers bear it out. You look at the numbers and, you know, the fact that 1 in 5 students on a college campus, a woman on a college campus, is experiencing a sexual assault. The new number that just came out yesterday was 13% had experienced forced penetration. That is a very scary thing. I have sons and daughters. I don't want to send them out in the world without this kind of information. So, yeah, I get that people are worried about the extreme legalistic. Mm-hmm. You know,
how do you quantify this legally?
I get it.
Yeah.
But I think we need to change our focus. You know, our focus has to be that we have a very serious problem on our hands, and we need to stop blaming the victims. We need to stop saying you didn't say no loud enough or you were drunk and you deserved it. What we should be doing is teaching young men and young women there's a process to respect your partner, and that the only way to actually respect your partner is to make sure that you have consent. I don't think what we're saying is that every step in the process you have to, you know, say, can I do this? Can I do that? Mm-hmm. Can I do this? Mm-hmm. Can I do that? I think what we're saying is there's an overall respect for the person that you're with, and that if there are any signs that the person does not want to do this or is silent about it
can't
make a good judgment, you should not be in that situation. And it really protects both parties. Because there are a lot of kids that end up in the gray area, and this takes the gray out of it. If you can't get somebody to actually physically be able to say the words, yes, I want to do that, then you probably shouldn't do it. In any other situation, we'd probably feel that way.
I'm talking with Democratic State Senator Curtis Hertel about the Senate Bill 512, dubbed the Yes Means Yes Bill, that has just been introduced. Talking about quantifying something, another factor of life on college campus and in the real world for these young people is drinking. How does this address just what drunk sex is? I mean, how do you quantify too drunk to consent?
Yeah, the term is incapacitated.
Yeah.
This is always going to be a hard thing to actually legislate, and I understand that. When we use the term incapacitated, mm-hmm, I'm pretty sure that, and again, we're doing it on the education side, not on the criminal side.
Yes, yes.
But what we're saying is, basically, if someone cannot verbally tell you that they want to do something or is so drunk that they are obviously not in any way conscious enough to be making that decision, that you should probably avoid the behavior. I think it's common sense. I think, unfortunately, people will nitpick that and say, well, you know, a lot of people have drunken experiences. Yeah, I get that. We're not trying to say if somebody has a couple beers that they can't consent. What we're saying is a point where they are legally incapacitated, mm-hmm, where they could not make a rational decision. And you know that.
Right.
And you have to have knowledge. But if there are obvious signs of that, then it's not a good idea to have sex with that person.
Who's speaking up to support your bill?
We had a great group. We had the Gender Equality Club. We had a lot of the people from EVE, which is a domestic violence, mm-hmm, group in Lansing. We have really strong support from those groups. We have a lot of support from some of the traditional women's groups around.
How about law enforcement?
We actually had an East Lansing police officer at our press conference. He spoke. He said that he has seen a change in the culture and that some of the things that they've seen on campus and how scary that is. We've gotten their support. The bill hasn't got a hearing yet. We haven't had people take official positions in that regard. But at our press conference, we did have law enforcement involved, and they were supportive. So I think we're getting a good amount of support. And we hope we can get support from college campuses across the state on that.
And you do have some co-sponsors who've come on board?
Yeah, we have 6 different co-sponsors, probably the most important being that it's bipartisan. So Tanya Schutemaker, who's a Republican from the west side of the state, has supported the bill and signed on as a co-sponsor. And we're really excited about that because there's been a lot of talks. Sue Snyder, the mm-hmm. governor's first lady, has gone around and talked a lot about these issues. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. In all honesty, we have an epidemic on our college campuses. We need to solve it. And I think that Republicans and Democrats should be able to sit down together and say we need to change our culture.
Just this week, we learned that more than 70% of the female students at Michigan and Michigan State who say that they have been the victims of non-consensual sexual penetration have never reported the assault, saying they were embarrassed, they were ashamed, or they didn't think anyone would do anything about it. Do you think that this kind of information, this kind of teaching that you want to see happen in schools, could that address this problem?
Yeah.
What more needs to happen?
It is empowering to have someone say to you that you have rights. So I do think that, yes, that more people would come forward if they knew not only did they feel violated, but they knew that they were told that it was a violation. So I do think that that actually would help. But it's one part of the solution. You know, we just passed another $500,000 in last year's budget. It was my amendment to the state budget to get state police to work with our college campuses. And I was happy that passed. It's not enough money, but it's at least a start. We have to take a full approach. We need to look at this from all different angles. We're not going to solve the fact that 1 in 5 women are assaulted on our college campuses by any one bill or any one measure. I think that this does a good job starting that conversation, but we need to look at the problem completely across the board.
So where does the bill stand now?
The bill was just introduced. Mm-hmm. It'll be referred to a committee later on this week. We look forward to pushing for a hearing, and we'll be fighting hard to make sure that we get it done.
State Senator Curtis Hertel, Democrat from District 23. Thank you so much for being with us, Senator.
Thank you. Appreciate it.